Israel, Am im Schma Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
There is a generation of whom you may not ask belief in earth or sky or men. You may not ask unless you know the world in which they found themselves. And if you would know their world, then hear the words of Isaiah.
We look for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. Yea, as they that have no eyes do we grope, and stumble at noonday as in the twilight. We are in dark places, like the dead.
Yet I give you leave to ask, for I was of that generation in the dark places, and I am alive, and I know what I believe. In the fall of 1941, the darkness spread over half the world. And in Vilna, as in other cities of Poland and Lithuania, walls of stone and barbed wire arose. Behind the walls in the ghettos, the Nazis established factories, and we worked for them. Each factory in charge of an overseer, and we worked for him. Slaves under a master.
Corporal! You, Heinrich!
You called me, Phil Weberschmidt?
Heinrich, I think I will make a speech.
Jawohl, I will listen.
The speech is not for you. Stop the machine.
Stop the machine!
Oh, you dumb cop. How did you ever become a corporal?
What you say?
Throw the switch. The machines will stop.
Jawohl.
That's better. Well, Jews, it's not so bad, hmm? You have all worked for me a long time, and it's not so bad. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
I give you bread on time, don't I?
Yeah.
Yes, Your Excellency.
And soup too, eh, Farbman?
Yes, Your Excellency. Soup too.
As for me, I have no complaints. You are good Jews. You work, the factory meets the quota of uniforms every month, exactly to pattern and well sewed. And that's how it is. And I am pleased with you. And you are pleased with me, isn't that so?
Yes, Your Excellency.
You don't have to say anything, Farbman, I know. And how do I know? Because only yesterday, the workers of this factory gave me, their overseer, of their own free will, they gave me as a present this fine gold watch. And that is what I want to talk about. Now, I know your intentions were good. But a watch, by itself, there is something missing, isn't there? Farbman? Isn't there something missing?
A watch chain, Excellency.
A gold watch chain. I see that you understand. I tell you, I have the best Jews in all Vilna. All right, back to work. Heinrich, start the machines.
Be careful, Meissen.
I didn't say anything.
You don't have to. The look on your face is enough.
Our good friend. He gives us bread on time. Farbman, it turns my stomach.
All the same, take care.
You two, no talking. Get to work.
We are working.
No insolence. I'll teach you how to talk to a German officer.
Heinrich, no violence.
We always try to avoid unnecessary violence, don't we, Farbman?
Yes, Your Excellency.
There, Heinrich. You see our company?
Excellency. Be still, Meissen. Feldwebel Schmidt. He's only a sergeant. Excellency.
It's a little thing.
Self-respect is not a little thing. Keep your head down.
Meissen, you want luxuries in the ghetto? When you've been here as long as I have, you'll know there are bad Germans and not so bad. Schmidt is not so bad.
He's a Nazi.
But he doesn't steal half our bread. He never uses the whip he carries, and you saw he doesn't let the guards beat us.
Let us be grateful for small things.
Meissen, my friend, it is no small thing to remain alive.
We remained alive by the bread that Schmidt held in his hands. Every morning we arose and said goodbye to wives and children. And every evening we kissed them as if we had returned from a long and perilous journey from which there might be no return. We ate the bread and then we slept. Except those nights when we were awakened.
Everybody out of the building! Line up in the street! Line up!
Get on the side, women over there, move!
You! Get in the truck! And you, hurry up, in the truck! This man, get back in the house! Next one! In the truck! Stop him! Roll him over to the side. All right, you, get in. Next man.
That's all for the street.
Then it was quiet again. But we did not sleep. The next morning, there were always empty places at the machines in the factory. And sometimes we could hear Schmidt talking to a Gestapo sergeant.
There's no use arguing with me, Schmidt. I have my orders.
How am I supposed to run a factory and meet my quota if you people keep taking my workers?
We don't take those who can work. Not yet, anyway. Only the useless ones.
All my Jews do a day's work. At least you might let me know in advance when there's going to be a raid.
What for? Besides, I don't know myself. Nobody does, till we get the orders.
Still, an affair like that has to be planned.
Sure. That's the colonel's problem.
Yes, so it is. Sergeant, the colonel's adjutant used to be a man by the name of,
Kruger.
Kruger. He would know when there's going to be a raid, wouldn't he?
Pull the switch. You are looking at the clock, eh, Jews? By my gold watch and chain, it is exactly 1 hour before the usual time for stopping the machines. Don't think now you are getting a vacation. You are working overtime tonight.
The regulations say we...
I make the regulations here.
If it is permitted to speak, Your Excellency.
What is it, Farman?
How long will it be?
Until the work is finished, all night if necessary.
But our families...
You have an extra hour now. Go and bring them here.
Here? To the factory?
I will feed them and they can sleep on the floor.
Excuse me, Excellency. My wife is sick, rheumatism. It is not easy for her to move.
Do as you are told!
Yes, sir.
That's better. Be back in 1 hour. Go on, all of you.
Away from the windows. Stay at your machines.
That's enough work for tonight.
All right, Jews. You and your families. You can go to sleep now.
Simple enough, Farbman. Schmidt found out from his friend, the colonel's adjutant.
Oh, he did. Kruger, my friend, I suppose he said, tell me, when are your men coming to pick up some more Jews for the concentration camps?
Are you really so innocent? Tongs must loosen at those drunken parties in his living quarters.
And so on the night of the raid, he keeps us in the factory.
He's not a fool. He needs his workers. As long as the factory produces and meets the quotas, they won't send him to the Afrika Corps or the Russian front.
Tell me, does he also need our families? Why did he have to bring them to the factory?
How should I know what goes on in the mind of a German soldier?
It's simple, you said.
Well, he has his reasons.
Meyerson, the night of the raid when it was over and the lights were out, someone came to where we were lying on the floor. Here, Jew, he said. And threw it at me.
Threw what?
A mattress filled with, I don't know what, paper, old rags. And he threw it. But it was a mattress for my wife, on account of her rheumatism.
All right, Farbman, all right. What does it prove?
I don't know. Maybe nothing. Or maybe that understanding even a German soldier is not a simple thing.
There was no difficulty in understanding the German intention. More and more, the nights were torn by the stamp of boots and the roaring of trucks and the silence of departure. There were more empty places at the machines. And each disappearance was a loss to those who remained, bringing us all a little closer to death.
So many, Meyerson. So many. Last week, 15 from this factory alone. And today, the man who worked at the machines next to yours, what's his name? Meyerson.
Hmm? Oh, his name is Levine.
Today, Levine was gone. Hmm. He'll make an end of all of us in Vilna. Meyerson, you're not listening.
Farbman, there was no raid yesterday.
No, not in our section.
Levine lived in our street.
He must have come for him quietly in the night.
The Gestapo never comes quietly. His wife and son are also gone.
To be taken alone. One family. That seems even worse.
I'm trying to tell you, Farbman. I spoke to Levine's brother-in-law. He wouldn't say anything at first, but in the end he told me. Farbman, Levine was not taken by the Gestapo.
What are you saying?
I've been asking questions and putting things together. There have been others, not many. But it can be done. Farbman, it's possible to get out of Vilna.
No. How? Tell me, Meyerson. How?
The man to see is Steiner, who works in the shoe factory near the station. When we've talked to Steiner, we'll know.
You brought us, Steiner.
Well, don't worry, Farbman. You're safe here, you and Meyerson.
I don't like it. This house, I don't like it.
It's a real high-class house, hmm?
Rugs on the floor. Pictures on the wall.
I agree with Meyerson. It doesn't seem right for the headquarters of a secret organization.
Secret organization? You want to get out of Vilna, don't you? How do you think it's done?
I don't know. Maybe a tunnel under the wall. Or the barbed wire is cut in a certain section.
No, you wouldn't get far that way. No, my friend. You go through the gate.
Through the gate?
Don't you see, Farbman? This house belongs to a German officer.
And what an officer. Just feel this tablecloth.
Yeah. The price is high, Steiner, isn't it?
You have to pay. But considering what you're buying and the risk to him, it's reasonable.
You get a share, naturally.
Why not? Middleman is entitled to a small commission.
A commission on life and death.
And what's the matter with you all of a sudden?
How much? It's my life and I'm paying.
Oh, you're superior, aren't you? You're pure. It's all right to buy your life, but it's wrong if somebody takes money for it.
You listen to me, Steiner.
No. I didn't send for you. No one made you come to me. If you don't like it, then you're free to leave.
Free to stay here and die.
Stop it, Meyerson. It's not his fault.
Hmm. Well, forget it. I know how you feel. Only, Meyerson, don't you think I also want to get out of Vilna? Let me know how it turns out.
You can't go, Steiner. We have to talk.
No, not with me. Make the arrangements with the German. He'll be here.
It's almost an hour. How long can we wait?
Till he comes, Myerson.
Fireman, I'm not easy about this whole affair. Even if we have enough money, how do we know we'll get what we're paying for?
There are no guarantees, Myerson. Still, I'll tell you what it's like. In the old days when my wife used to buy fish, I would ask, how do you know if the fish is fresh? And she would answer, how do I know? I poke the fish in the belly and I know. Myerson, we'll poke around a little bit and we'll know.
Let's say we get out of Vilna. Then where do we go?
To another city, Lida, Bialystok. Any place where they haven't begun these raids.
If we could get to the Baltic coast, from there, even in a small boat, we could reach Sweden.
Then we'll try to get to the Baltic. But first we have to get out of Vilna. He's coming. Schmidt!
Your Excellency, we...
So it's you and Myerson. It would be a shame to lose two such workers from the factory, but that can't be helped, can it?
If it is permitted to explain...
There's no time. You first, Myerson. How many in your family?
Speak up, man. Don't you want to get out of Vilna?
For 9 days we waited. Each day we worked in the factory under His Excellency Feldwebel Anton Schmidt. And at night we sat in the dark, our possessions in a paper suitcase or wrapped in a sheet, waiting for Anton Schmidt to take us out of Vilna.
You will leave tomorrow morning early. Well, pick your things and come along.
You said tomorrow, Shiner.
Can't pick you up separately like a chauffeur in a limousine. Bring your families. You will spend the night in the basement of Schmidt's house.
Farben. Farben, come here and look out into the street.
What can you see from a basement window?
Legs?
Yes, legs in boots, military boots. Watch where they go.
What do you mean, where? Huh? Well, they go past the window and then... Myerson! He came into this house?
I counted six. This makes seven soldiers to come into this house. We're fools, Farben.
Maybe it's not the way it seems.
What else can it mean? We should have expected this. That's Schmidt. Now, when he comes through the door, I'll pin his arms. And Jacobs.
Yeah.
Your hands at his throat to keep him quiet. Now, you understand?
I understand.
No, wait, Myerson.
Do as I say, Farben, and you take his pistol. Ready? Give me the gun, Farben, and close the door.
Now, let him go, Jacobs.
Schmidt. Schmidt. You make a sound, you're a dead man.
Wouldn't do you much good to shoot me.
Nothing will do us any good now. We have nothing to lose.
You don't trust me, hmm? Well, why should you? It would be easy enough to take your money and then betray you, hmm?
We saw them come into the house. Who were they? Gestapo?
Yes. The colonel's adjutant. Also the aide to the commandant of transport and a few others. I'm having a little party upstairs.
And we are to provide the entertainment.
No. The bottle is enough entertainment for my friends. And they pay. Without knowing it, they pay. I borrowed a truck for tomorrow from my friend in the transport command. Friends here and there let me know, in all innocence, you understand, which towns are safe and which are active, as the Gestapo puts it.
It sounds reasonable, Myerson.
Of course it does. How else would it sound?
Come now, Myerson. Why should I take your money and betray you?
That's the wrong question, Schmidt. You're an officer in the German army. The question is, why shouldn't you do it? Farbman, we have no choice.
You make me out a fool. I like rugs, expensive furniture. Would I cut off a source of money by failing to deliver what I sell?
Schmidt, we need an explanation not of what you do, but why you do it.
So? I am to defend myself before a hostile jury, hmm?
Don't you see, Schmidt? We want to believe you. It's not only your fate that is being decided.
Who knows the whys and the reasons? What do you want me to tell you?
You're a German army officer. Begin with that.
Yes, I am a German officer. But it does not mean that I brought you here or that I want to keep you here. It does not mean that I believe that nonsense about Aryans or that I think that it's right that Jews are beaten and murdered and thrown into concentration camps to rot. I'm not a person with complicated thoughts. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that a man is a human being after all. I came down for a few bottles there on the shelf for my friends upstairs.
Jacobs, give him the bottles.
There will be questions if my gun is missing. Give it to him, Myerson. Thank you. Try to sleep a little for tomorrow. It is not restful riding in a German army truck.
We are not far from Lida. There is a checkpoint with guards just outside the town. Now remember what you are supposed to be. Jews in transit to a factory in Lida. Not that the guard will question you, but it would be better if you all looked a little more depressed, if you know what I mean. Not so excited.
There's something I want to ask you, Schmidt.
It will have to wait, Farbman. Ah, there is the checkpoint. Who is the guard on duty today, Heinrich?
They look like Lithuanians.
Good. Drive up fast and stop at the last minute, but keep the engine running.
Your papers, please, Herr Offizier.
They are in order, and I'm in a hurry. Get out of the way.
If I may see them.
You question a word of a German officer? Out of the way, you Lithuanian pig, or I run you down. You heard me call you, running down. Did you see him jump? We haven't caught one yet, have we, Heinrich? Of course, when the guards are German, it's a different story. But we manage, eh?
That's what I wanted to ask you. You make these trips often, don't you?
Not always to the same place, but often enough.
What if a guard should recognize you and begin to think...
Farman, that would be bad. But I will tell you how it is. There is a certain oriental rug belonging to a major in the commandant's office. 1,000 marks, and it is mine.
That's why you make these trips.
Why not? Transport is a good business. Meyerson doesn't like that. He likes things to be simple, I think. A man is a good man, or else he should be black as the devil, eh, Meyerson?
I didn't say anything.
No. And who am I to speak for you? Driver, stop at the end of the street. Now, you all know where you're to go. Everybody out of the truck and get started. Wait, Farman.
Yes?
How much money do you have?
How much do you have?
So that's how it is, huh? Here. Take this.
It's the money I paid you.
Don't worry, I'll make it up on someone who can afford it.
With all the words that have been spoken, one thing has not been said.
It's not necessary, Farman.
You're wrong, Schmidt. It has to be said. Thank you.
Some things go without saying. Because a man is a human being, after all.
Anton Schmidt, Feldwebel in the army of the Third Reich, returned to Vilna and was taken by the Gestapo. Write his name in your remembrance. For in the dark places where there were no men, he was a man.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting the Honorable Charles H. Silver, President of the Board of Education in New York City. Mr. Silver.
We have just heard a moving depiction of the meaning of brotherhood and the way it overcame even the fear and degradation of Nazi Germany. That is because brotherhood is not just a word. It is a way of life. The spirit of brotherhood is not limited to any age or nation. It is no seven-day wonder to be celebrated for a single week and then forgotten. Brotherhood is the eternal light of man's love and compassion for his fellow man. It is the flame in the heart of the conscience of humanity, the cornerstone of freedom and equality. In my day-to-day work on the Board of Education, I see more than 1 million children attending the public schools of New York each year. This is an immense mingling of races and cultures, an enormous melting pot of mixed traditions, and our schools are all the richer for it. I see a great lesson to be learned in the harmony and fellowship of these children, working, studying, and playing together. They are weaving an endless tapestry called tomorrow. Each contributes a thread, and no two threads are quite alike. That is what makes the pattern so beautiful. When I think of America, I marvel of how much other lands have contributed to the creation and development of this blessed country. It is like looking at a rainbow and realizing how many colors have blended to fashion its blazing glory. Today, the most envied honor is to be a citizen of the United States of America. This is true not alone because we are the greatest nation in the world, but because we are the guardians of a precious heritage of freedom. Brotherhood is part of our being every minute of every day, a beacon light for less fortunate lands, a rainbow that must never fade. Keep brotherhood alive so that liberty may never die, so that America may live for all time as an eternal symbol of hope to all the peoples of the earth.
Thank you, Mr. Silver. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Dark Places, was written by Joseph Mindel and was based on a manuscript, Was There Another Germany During the Nazi Period? By Dr. Philip Friedman. It was presented in observance of Brotherhood Week. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Norman Rose, Leon Jenny as Meyerson, Santos Ortega as Farbman, Mandel Kramer as Schmidt, Daniel Acco as Heinrich, Sam Gray as an officer of the Gestapo, and Nelson Olmsted as Steiner. This is Mel Brandt. Our director was Kenneth McGregor. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.